for anyone who may not understand. Born again is when you have repented of your ways, recognizing that your life cannot get you into heaven, and you accept Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins, as sacrifice for our sins, and you ask him in your life, and you believe that he rose from the dead, and right now he's on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us all. You can simply say, Lord, come into my life. Lord, I need you. And the Bible says, if you mean it from your heart, at that moment, the Spirit of God comes into your life, and the core of who you are is changed. He changes us, watch this, from at the core, from being a sinner to a saint. Can I go a little bit deeper? Sinning don't make you a sinner. We sin because we're sinners, which means you can be a saint that may sin sometimes, but the core of who you are has been changed and born again after the image of God. You must be. You got to be to make it into heaven, born again. Let me say it another. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb who paid the price for our sins. Somebody need to give Jesus praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm covered. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm going to make it in. Only reason. Only reason. Well, I guess I better preach. Must be. Thank you, fellas. We are on the sixth sermon of this series, and before I go on, I want to give God praise for the Senior Citizen Day and the dinner. Amen. Amen. I guess a lot of senior citizens still tired from last week, as they did. But they had a new mission cafe, and everything was well. Give God praise for our seasoned citizens. And the Children's Day was awesome. Let us go into the Word of God. We are reading out of Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read and then I'm just going to stop. We're coming out of New King James. I'm going to try to pick up where we left off a few Sundays ago and do that parallel between the temptation of Adam and the temptation of Jesus in the desert. The subject matter is going to be the power of the word in your mouth. Did you hear that? The power of God's word in your mouth. To turn to your neighbor and say, speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, not the man, he said to the woman, though the man was next to her, he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a setup. That's a setup. Sit down, sit down. I'm just going to ask Jesus as I go through. Never get into conversation with the devil about the truth. Never rationale. One of the things we do is when we are wrong about something, we begin to find excuse and begin to rationale instead of taking God's word as God's word. To make me feel better about what God convicted me about, it is easier to take a different angle on the word than to say, Lord, I'm wrong. Help me in my wrongness. Notice he comes with a question, and this is what happened. As he comes with a question, it posed a question in Eve's mind. She said to him, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of every tree of the garden, of every fruit of the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said. You know, that should have been enough right there. God has said, you shall not eat of it. And watch this. She asked her and shall not touch of it. You got to remember, God really said this to Adam before Eve. Eve is getting it second-handed. Can I say this? You better be reading the word for yourself. Even if sometimes you don't understand it, even if sometimes it don't make sense, keep on reading. The word of God is like a puzzle, and the more word you got in you, the more the pieces begin to fit together as the Holy Spirit helps you in your understanding. Devotional books is good. All that is good, but you need to read it, hear it for yourself so that your spirit, you are feeding your spirit. It's more than feeding your mind. You are feeding your spirit so that God can give you illumination of what you have read. God will bring up something you read 2 years ago, and because it went in your spirit, when you need it, it will come up to you. Is there anybody else experienced that? You say, I didn't know that. You didn't know it, but your spirit knew it. And when you needed it, it came up. But the tree in the midst, God has said, don't eat of it or touch it unless you die. Notice that God told Adam, he said, the day, watch it, and it has nothing to do with the tree. He said, when you no longer believe me, when you no longer see my word as life, when you no longer see me as the source of your everything, when you decide you don't need me no more, when you decide you know better than I do, what you enjoy with me is unceasing fellowship. I come in the cool of day and I'll walk in you. The Garden of Eden was paradise, was heaven on earth. We can't even imagine. It's not just the tree. It was where God, the tabernacle of God, met with them. Satan could not get into their thinking, so he came through a serpent, because in them was no evil or the ability to even think evil, because they stood in the glory of God and they were covered. Temptation comes from, it may come from without, but it taps into something from within. I tell you all the time, you can't tempt me with chitlins. But because the devil has a portfolio on each of us, because I believe that Satan is a copycat. So if God has a guardian angel watching over us from the time of birth, Satan has assigned a demon to watch you too. He knows our likes. He knows our fears. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our wounds. He knows what happened in your childhood. He knows what has happened in your life, because he's the one who caused the evil and the hurt and the pain anyway. And it's written in a portfolio. Can I set you up? Can I show you this? Notice that in Job temptation, when everything has gone haywire, devil has said up in heaven to God, I will make him curse you to your face. And then when a wife gets frustrated, he whisper into her ears the exact words. He's a schemer. He's a deceiver. He's trying to erase out of us the image of God, because he can't be God, but he sure don't want you looking like God. He puts in us attitudes and decisions and markers. And a lot of times he does it from a place of our want, a place of our need. She said, you shall surely die. Next verse. Then the serpent said to her, you will not surely die. You know, did you see what he just did? He turned the word of God upside down and said, God's lying to you. He don't know what's best for you. He's keeping back from you. He know the day that you eat of the tree, you will be, now watch this, you will be just like him. Now hold on. The desire for children to be like their father, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, what they didn't know, he made them to be his children. They were in training that, as God will do in the future, we're going to reign with Christ. That was always God's intent. But hold on, you don't give a 2-year-old keys. He was teaching them. They was learning his heart. They was learning to walk with him. He has downloaded into them his image, which means that their spirit, his spirit was in their spirit, and he was sure. He gave them authority over the whole earth. And like some of us, we don't want to wait. Waiting is hard. But waiting is necessary. Waiting stretches our faith. Some of us don't want God to say no. No is necessary, because we don't know what's good for us. Satan does not change tricks. It comes at a different angle. Y'all got me? Here Jesus is the second Adam. Here they're being tempted in paradise, and Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted in the desert. Flipped upside down. Here they are in everything they want, everything they need. Now, Jesus, after his baptism, and after the baptism, God gave him a commendation. This is my son. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit leads him in a place where it says wilderness, but in Jerusalem and Israel is desert. It's rocks. It's sand. It's terrible. Here he is, and he's being led, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Listen, because he's in the human body, he's hungry. He says to him, I know you're hungry. Since you are the Son of God, won't you turn these rocks into bread? Fulfill your desire without permission from your father. Eve and Adam look at the fruit, and whatever it is, it looked good. It looked like it would feed their appetite. Lust of the flesh is when we have a true desire, but we don't wait on God to fulfill it. We jump in it and do it ourselves. Whenever we move ourselves out of God's hands, we have come up from under his authority. And the power we have is gone. And he is so slick. He is so, Lord, if you just give me, and I know you just said no, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then 5 years later, you wish you wouldn't have done it. We all been there. And the thing is this, Jesus used the word. Adam and Eve did not come back with what God told them. Adam should have spoke up and said, God said, if we eat of it, we will surely die. Get out of her. Let me ask you a question. When Satan comes and he's throwing stuff at you, what do you do? How do you fight? Do you use the word of God? Do you stand on the character of God? Listen, we are in a spiritual battle, and what Satan is trying to do is move us out of position, out of power, out of authority. He's trying to get us where he's trying to slowly kill us softly. The word of God and the principle of God works. Jesus is the second Adam, and he is showing us, listen, not as God, but as a man, though he's fully God, but he's fighting Satan with the word of God in his mouth. If Jesus can fight, combat temptation, if Jesus can fight temptation and the devil with the word in his mouth, did you know he has given us power? Put the word in your mouth. Use it. Speak the word. Whenever you're in that mind battle, tell the devil to shut up and sit down. Most of our battle is here. You can even quench a bad attitude. He says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You need to start singing God a song. You need to encourage yourself. You need to stir up the gift of the Spirit within you and take your mind off the problem. Put it on Jesus. Whoever told you for a Christian, it's normal for you to be in fear and worry all the time? That's a lie from the devil. In the most intimate text of scripture, in John 14, he said, my peace, not the peace of the world, I give unto you. He said, I tell you these things so that your joy may be full. Here Paul is sitting in a dungeon writing the book of Philippians, and he's talking about joy. He's talking about rejoicing. He's talking about having the peace of God. Listen, his situation was bad, but his atmosphere was wonderful. You can create an atmosphere in the midst of hell that even the devil can't come in. We're not using the power God has given us to use. He said to us, he says, you are my children. So he said, come into his throne room boldly. You know what that means? You don't have to ask permission. You don't have to knock on the door. Just say, Abba, Heavenly Father, your child needs you. I'm coming in right now. And as soon as you say that, the presence of God. Somebody told me, they said this. They said, when I pray, my mind goes haywire. I said, open up your mouth. I said, you know, in the Jewish context, they know of nothing about praying in their mind. It was always speaking it. And when you speak it, your mind has to focus on what you speak it. Come on now. Matter of fact, before you start praying, go into some praise time. You know what? You know what I realized? It takes time. It takes, you just can't, it's not, you know, 30 seconds. It's you got to get ready for church. So when you get in the presence of God, you need to sing some song. You need to come to him with thanksgiving and praise. You need to come worshiping and then tell him what the problem is. Now there's times that you don't have that much time. Car coming, you need to say, Jesus, help. But when you've been in his presence, it's the first thing you can call, and his presence is there. God loves you. God loves you. Jesus knows he's in the presence of his Father, and the devil has nothing on him. If I ask some of you, are you afraid of the devil? You would say yes. Because you don't understand the spiritual authority and position you have. You ought to say, I'm covered. I'm not standing in my strength. I'm standing in his strength. I don't use my word. I use his word. I trust his character. And he promised me he would never leave me nor forsake me. Go back to Genesis. What Satan does is this. He put doubt in their mind about the character of God. Don't let your circumstance determine what you think about God. When Adam and Eve fell, they gave this world to Satan. Can I prove that? Ephesians chapter 2, it won't come up. He says, this world is, he's the prince of the power of the air. He has taken over the atmosphere, and we pick up his attitude. In 1 John chapter 5, he says that the whole world is in the devil's sway. Deception. When Jesus getting ready to go to the cross, he's coming out of the garden, and he said, the prince of this world is on his way, but he has nothing on me. You know, as God's children, as being born again, we can say, yeah, I see his activity, but he has nothing on me. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. Yeah, I see how crazy the world is, but the devil has nothing on me. We are God's purchased possession. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm his purchased possession. He bought me with his blood. I got his name on me. When Satan sees me, he knows I'm God's possession. I may not act like it, but I still got his name on me. What are you looking for? I'm looking for the name of the publisher of this Bible, because before I bought it, it's Holman Bible Publishing. Guess what? If you look at me, what you'll see, I'm a child of God. Hold on. And the more you allow God to sanctify you, the more you look like it. The more you act like it. The more it becomes an appointment. The more it's a shine on you. Matter of fact, God's anointing, if someone's really walking in an anointing, it looks like they got Vaseline on. And it's not Vaseline. There is a radiance. There is a presence of the Holy Spirit. People will be asking you, women, what makeup you wear? Because I want that makeup, because I want it to shine. Wait a minute, you can't buy this in the store. Wait a minute, you can't wear Vaseline and look like that. There's an anointing. I've been in a lot of rooms when people have died. I've been in a lot of rooms. And when that person is a saint, after they die, after they have taken their last breath, after the spirit has left, no matter what chemicals they've been through, be standing there, and we'd be looking at the body, and there's this glow. I'm talking about before Preston Charles get a hold of it. Before anybody do anything. It's like, am I right, Chris? We're standing there and we just start marveling. I reminded in scripture, he said, after Elijah been dead, thrown in a cave, bones was there. Israel was in a battle, and they took a dead man and threw him in the wrong cave, and his dead body landed on Elisha's dead bones, and there was still enough anointing and dried up bones that the dead man came alive. Don't tell me what God can't do. Don't tell me he won't make his children shine. Don't tell me there's not an anointing as evidence. This is my child's body, and I'm coming back to get it. We underestimate what God is willing to do with you and me. He's waiting on us to trust him more. Listen, faith is nothing more than trusting God at his character and his word, even when you don't understand. Even when you don't like it. Even when he got you in process. But you're able to look past. I think how much time I got. I know. I think that we ought to be able to reach into the past and the future at the same time. Huh. If you got any type of experience of what God has brought you through, I think we look at our past and we look at it from a net. You don't know all that I've been through. You have no clue of the stories I've been privileged to, what people have gone through. And yet, they're not complaining, they're glowing. It's not what you've been through, it's what you do with what you've been through. I even going through. Hallelujah. God will take what you've been through, turn it around, and make it a blessing. Listen to Joseph. He said, God has made me forget the suffering I've been through with the blessing he has blessed me with. Let me make it plain. Some of y'all that had 2 kids, 3 kids, 4 kids, used to be 6 kids, 7 kids, and y'all went through some pain. But when they placed that baby, when they placed the fruit of the suffering, made you forget how bad the suffering was, we would have only one children families in the house. But when God walked you through and showed you why he allowed it to happen, and showed you the fruit that he's producing in you, you'll get to the place one day where you say, I didn't like it, but now I see it. Lord, thank you for what I've been through. Thank you that you brought me out. Thank you, because you was there all the time. Somebody needed to touch him that he was there all the time. I would have lost my mind. I would have died. I would have just faded, but God helped me. God woke me. God carried me. God was there. God put his fingers in my ear. God fathered me. God mothered me. God never would have made it. Ever wasn't him on my side. I think you ought to have one hand on that. And I think y'all have another hand on, he promised me. Oh, somebody didn't hear that. He promised me. Is there anybody in here got some promises on the table? Is there anybody here got some expectations on the table? Is there anybody here you waiting on something? Hold on, I know I said. When you is in this position, you are careful about how you live. Let me say that again. When God promised you something, can't nobody stop the blessing but you. Do you think this is arbitrary? Do you think this is Ceylon, what will be? God don't operate like that. God is a God of purpose. God is a God of intent. God want us to work with him. How can I say this? Just say it, Tracy. Okay. The reason some of us have not reached our place of destiny is that we are out of position. Amen. You would never reach where God had already predetermined where he wants to bless you because you keep playing around. If you miss it by 1 degree, you miss it. I like God's GPS system. You know why I like God's GPS system? Let me slow it up. Is that if you really got a heart after him, if you get off track, he would recalculate it and he would bring you back. But if you got a heart after him, you don't have to worry about it. He'll get you back on track. Listen, God is for us more than we are for ourselves. As much as David messed up, he still, his epitaph that God wrote is, in his generation, he completed the purpose that I had for him. Because after he messed up, he got back on his face before God, said, I'm chasing your heart. And it's like God erased the mess up and said, he completed everything. Because I knew he would come back in order and trust me. Let's see how much time. Go ahead, because I got to get to this point. Here we are in 1 Samuel 17. The Old Testament shows us principles from the New Testament, but it does it in stories. He says that David went down to the battle to check on his brothers. His fathers had sent him. David is probably 15, 14 years old. He's a lad. He's a young teenager. He's been tending sheep. But in tending sheep, he'd been developing his faith and his relationship with God. When he started asking, and he saw something that nobody else saw. Number one, Israel is the children of God. And the Philistines worship idols. They was demonic influence. And David said, they have no right to us. They don't know who our God is. They don't know who we are. He says, we got God's name on us. I don't care how big he is. I got God's name on me. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They don't know whose I am. Listen, if you don't know whose you are, the devil is not going to listen to you because he's saying, I know, do you know? And as long as you don't know, I'm going to mess with you because you don't know the power that you got in your mouth. Come on now. You sitting there shaking, and you ought to be speaking instead of shaking. Everybody else shaking, running from him. Listen, his javelin was like a fence post. The head of the spear weighed 15 pounds. The pointed part of the spear was 15 pounds. Yes, sir. His coat of mail was 127 pounds. He had a guy who ran in front of him with a shield. He was a bad, shut your mouth. But our God is better. Our God is more awesome. David started talking smack. Listen, if the devil gonna talk smack, you ought to talk the truth. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. When the devil start talking smack, open up your mouth and start talking the truth. Do you know who I am? I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you know that he got his name on me? He know me by name. Every particle of my hair is counted. I just pulled out hair 153. Let me try to put it back. Precious in his sight. Honored in his sight. Not based on me, based on him. Tell your neighbor, not based on me, based on him. He loves me. He loves me. If we just get that truth down, it would change your attitude. You'll quit being negative. You'll quit being sour-faced. You quit being nasty. You quit being. He loves me. He loves me. Even if you don't love me, he loves me. And there's nothing you can do about it. If you just get that truth, it would change your future. It would change you right now. David said, bothering the Saul. Saul said, you can't fight with him. He's a warrior. He's been fighting since he was your age. You can't fight with him. And David said, you don't know my story. You understand where I come from. I've been out in the wilderness praising God and thanking God. I've been tending the sheep. And a lion came. And instead of running from the lion, the Spirit of God came on me. And I caught the lion by his beard and I slew him. One day a bear came. I chased the bear down. He stood up to attack me, and I killed that sucker. He said, you don't know the same God. That's the path. The same God. The same God that brought me through that, that kept me in that, that delivered me through that, who made a way out of that, who helped me back then, is the same God that's gonna deliver me in this. You better have your arms stretched out. The God who did all of that, I know is gonna do this. Come here, Justin. Why I picked Justin? He called me and in the deep spiritual battle he was in, he listened to me as I showed him how to do warfare. When there is great purpose on you, the warfare is deeper. You were the preemie, I was the preemie. He was trying to kill us before we got started. Some of y'all had some rough childhood. That was a setup from the devil to stop you from becoming. You're not good enough.
I am what God says I am. I have been through too much hell to allow you to lie to me based on who God says I am. Man of God, man of valor.
What the heck?
Man of God, man of valor, man of war, chosen and elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit.
I am His.
He who knew no sin became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God. I'm His.
You're going to fail.
Father, glory to your name. Because in spite of what the enemy says,
you're gonna
spite of what he may come at me with, I am yours. You have brought me through too much hell. You've delivered me from suicide. You've delivered me from anxiety. You've delivered me from depression. You said there will come a time where I won't even hear his voice. Yours. He who is incensed against me shall be ashamed and confounded. He shall be as nothing. I'm yours. Victorious.
How real do you fight your battle? He got tears coming out his eyes because this is how real, how deep, how persistent. Let me tell you what David did. I gotta quit. We're out of time. Now stay here, son. Come here, son. David, after slewing the Goliath, and we miss this in scripture, he cut off the head of Goliath, and watch this, and took it to Jerusalem. That wasn't Jerusalem at that time. The Jebusites had a fortress there in the middle of Israel, at the high point of Israel. And for all those years, 40 years of Saul's reign, he could not dislodge them. It was a stronghold. They had an underground spring that rose up in the middle of their fortress, so they didn't have to go outside because they had a water source. I walked that tunnel. When I was in Israel, we walked that tunnel. We walked it from the outset of where the spring came in into the middle of Jerusalem, where they had their own source that supplied for all their what they was growing. The walls was unbelievable. The gates was three gates reinforced, that you had to go through three gates which were full of army men to get into the fortress. David, listen to me. David, 15 years before he became king, put the head of Goliath on the outside of this stronghold. And what David was saying, the same God that enabled me to kill Goliath, when I become the king that you promised me I'm going to be, no matter how long it's going to take, I'm going to put this head here as a testimony of what you're going to do. Oh, y'all don't hear me. It's not my time yet, but I'm already claiming it. I'm already thanking you. I'm already prepared for it. I already believe you because you are God all by yourself. The devil said to you, you have no future.
He is my future. I am what God says I am. My life is hid in him. My days are in his hands. He is my future. My latter reign shall be greater than my former. I'm his. I'm his.
He don't want you.
I am claimed by him. Sealed with the spirit of promise. I'm his. This ain't even a conversation. There is no debate.
Then you start praising God for what he has given you, for what he has already done in you. It's sealed. It's sealed. Your victory in Jesus Christ is already sealed. Do you believe? Doesn't mean you won't cry sometimes. Don't mean you won't go through all hell. His tears is from the hell he been through. But you know what? Do you mind if I share a little bit? When he was in the heat of the battle, he would call me sometimes 2-3 times a day. And I took the phone calls. Because I've been where he was. Man, you don't even call me no more, man. What's the deal, man? Man, my feelings are hurt, man. What? I'm not your father anymore? I be waiting on you to call. You don't call me. You know what the truth is? He don't need me. He knows how to fight. He's standing. Even in the heat of the battle, Satan is backing off of him. He came in and said this. He said, man, I've been tallying the attacks. He said, I've been winning, but I've been telling. He said, on this day, it was 96 of these thoughts. On this day was 94 of these thoughts. On this day was 34 of the thoughts. He said, what that mean? I said, you're winning. I said, the thoughts are getting less because the devil is slacking up because it's not working anymore. Stand your ground. Be abounding, immovable in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain. Victory is already ours. Victory is already ours. In the mighty name of Jesus, victory is already yours. The power is in the word of God in your mouth. Give God some praise in the house. Give God some praise in the house. Those that's been watching, your victory is you speaking the word of God, singing the word of God out your mouth, because the power of God is upon your faith, believing his word. God can't lie. God can't fail. God is for you. God loves you. In fact, Christ already won the battle, so we stand in victory already, but you gotta believe him at his word. I know it gets hard. I know you gotta cry sometimes.